The Mishnah Daf Kaf Daled of the Beis Yevamah tells us Hanitan al Hashif of the Nishtakara. If you have a situation of Nitan, says Rashi Chashad, Kolomar Shetonim Olav Dibrilas. So there are people that are suspicious of the fact that there's a relationship here. So there's some Shmua, there's some Chashad that this fellow has a relationship with the Shifcha, and then she is freed. Or there's some suspicion that he's involved with a non-Jewish woman, and then she is Megayer. Harezel lo yifnos, he's not allowed to marry her. V'im kanos ein kines ein motzi in miyado. But b'di'evet, if he got married, he doesn't have to divorce her. So the Gemara asks, Hagiyaris miyahavya? The Mishnah assumes that the Geiris, under these circumstances, is a valid Geiris. The whole issue of the Mishnah is Nitan, whether this specific person, whether there's some chashad that he had a previous relationship with this Gioris, is allowed to marry her. But fundamentally, it sounds like the Geiris would be a good Geiris. Or a meaning. Echad isha neskayu l'shem isha, v'echad isha neskayu l'shem ish. So if a person marries with the intent, sorry, if a person converts with the intent of marrying a Jew, v'chayim isha neskayu l'shem shalcha melachim, l'shem avdei shlomo, or if a person converts because he wants to be accorded the honor associated, or in the time of David Shlomo, where it was a time of prosperity, he wanted to tap into the Jewish prosperity. Einam Geirin, Devar Nechemya. So that Geiris is no good. Shayim Nechemya Omer, Echa Geiri Arayas, Echa Geiri Chalomas, Echa Geiri Mordechai the Esther, Einam Geirin, Ajis Gai Bismanazah. Bismanazah Sagadeza, Kala Eimel Kibismanazah. So a geiris is only valid if there's no ulterior motivation. If that's the case, why is the Mishnah only dealing with the issue of Nitan? There's a more fundamental issue that the Mishnah seems to bypass, that the geiris shouldn't be valid at all. The Gemara says, Imar la, Amar b'yusav, Amar shmuel, Bar marisa, Mishmei derav, Halacha gidirei omer, Kulam gerim heim. No. So our Mishnah is one day in Tanayim, and argues on Rav Nechemya. Rav Nechemya is the Tana who holds that the Geiris is no good, but our Mishnah assumes Kulam Geirim Heim, our Mishnah is a Chachamim to Rav Nechemya. Ihachi L'chachi L'nami. So that's the case, that the Geiris is valid, so why can't even the guy you're under the circumstances even L'chachi L'nami? Oh, sorry, so why in the case of Nitan can you not L'chachi L'nami marry this woman? Different issue, nothing to do with the status of the Geiris. So the sugya here in Yevamos Kaftal and Reveis introduces us to two separate but related issues. One of them is the Isser of Nitan, that if there is a suspicion of relationship between a Jew and a non-Jewish partner, and that non-Jewish partner then converts, it would be Isser for that now Geiris to marry the person with whom she was suspected of having a previous relationship. And number two, more fundamental issue of what is the status of Geiris L'shem Davar, Geiris for ulterior motivations. So Rav Nechemya holds that the Geiris is no good even post facto, and the Chachamim, the Tanna of Mishnah, assume that L'chachila, you shouldn't be Megayer people under the circumstances, but B'di'eved, the Geiris is Chal. So what's the nature of this Isser of being the guy or someone where there are ulterior motivations at play? Then the Sefer Geiris Gehilchasa, this nice Sefer over here, written by Rav Shmuel Eliezer Stern from Rav Avner Bezdin in Bnei Brak. He quotes in Perek Aleph from a Tshuva of Shlomo Le'eger, Yaredeya Simen Lamedalit, Yaredeya Simen Lamedalit. Rav Shlomo Le'eger points out, obviously this isn't an Isser D'Oraisa, because there's no pasuk, no evidence that this should be an Isser D'Oraisa, but it's also not an Isser D'Rabbanan, because the Gemara invokes this in the context of Geiris Shlomo. So presumably that would have preceded any Isser D'Rabbanan. So it must be some form of Divrei Kabbalah. Not D'Oraisa, not D'Rabbanan, somewhere in the middle of Divrei Kabbalah. Rav Shturm points out that the Mordechai sounds like it's a Din D'Oraisa. What's the Mordechai? The Mordechai here in Hagos, Mordechai Simen Kuf Yud and Yevamos. So the Mordechai has a line, Alma lehedya min haTorah shetzarech liyos batuach shesofo yeh l'shem shamayim. There's a line that there's a requirement min haTorah that a Beis Din has to be confident that the person they're being megayer is doing so l'shem shamayim. I would have said that min haTorah is lav dafka. It can't be that this is an issur d'oraisa. There's no makor that this should be such an issur d'oraisa. So presumably that lashon and the Mordechai of min haTorah is somewhat lav dafka. I found afterwards Rav Avadya writes this in Yabia Omer Chelek Ches Yoredeya Simin Kaf Dalid. I think it's Oth Beis. Yabia Omer Chelek Ches Yoredeya Simin Kaf Dalid Oth Beis. That obviously the Mordechai only means, doesn't mean it's Daraisa, it's Lav Dafka. If it was Daraisa, so then it shouldn't be Chal even B'dievet. So after you hold there's an Isser, he doesn't spell it out, but that's like the Lechachila Daraisa. So we all know you can't have a Lechachila and a Daraisa, so what would that mean? That there's an Isser min haTorah, be Megari someone, but the Gerus is Chal B'dievet. So presumably even the Mordechai doesn't mean it. We're talking about some kind of Din D'Rabbanan, you want to call it Divrei Kabbalah, but definitely not an Isser D'Oraisa. What is the reason for such an Isser? Why should that be that L'chachila, you're not allowed to be Medayer your son of L'shem Dover Afer, even though B'di Eved, Kulam Geirmein. So it's not Beferish in the Gemara here, and it's not really Beferish in the Rishonim either. Presumably, to the extent that there is such an Isser, it would have should have something to do with a suspicion that the Geirus isn't going to be good Geirus for other reasons, meaning that if someone is converting for ulterior motivation, so there is a suspicion or a concern that the person, let's say, is not going to be properly in the Kabbalah Mitzvah, so not going to be accepting and practicing what they need to accept and practice. That's what presumably you would assume is the reason for such an Isser. It's not, again, the Feirish in the Rishonim, but the closest, maybe the Feirish, is in the Ritva and the Nimuka Yosef here on Yavamos Kafzal and Rebeis. The Ritva is Dibur Maskil Halacha Kulam Gerim. And the Nimuka Yosef is the very bottom of Dafei Medeis Bedafei Yerif in the back of Yavamos. So again, the Ritva, Kafdal, and Mudeis, Dira Maskil, Halacha, Kulam Gerim, and the Nuka Yosef on the bottom of Heim and Beis, Bedaf Eirif. So I'll read you a few lines from the Ritva. The Ritva quotes Mikasha the Bali Hatosos. Kevin the Geri Arayas Gerim Hei L'Rabbanan. So if the Rabbanan hold that kulam gerim heim, so what's the formulation that lamanda amar kusim gerim arayos, that they're not gerim at all, that they're considered goyim? Why don't we say bidi evad kulam gerim heim? They're megayer l'shem davar acher, they're megayer for ulterior motivations, they don't want to be devoured by the lions. The bottom line, Geirus Hashem Davar Acher is Kasher Kulam Geirim Heim. So why is it that L'man D'Amr Geirei Arayos Heim, they're referred to as Goyim Gemurim? We don't view the Kusim as Jewish at all. V'tirtu. V'shani Hasam, Sh'akasav Omer Aleihem, V'es Eloihem Hayu Obdim. Lomar, Shelo Nisgayu B'leif Shalem Me'olam, Lo Kiblu Aleihem. So no, Geirei Arayos were different, Kusim were different, because there, the Nabi testifies that they still worship their idols, so it wasn't a proper Geirus. They were in Mekabel where they're supposed to be Mekabel, and the Manda Amar Geri Emes holds that they were. And the Rishon says, "Aval Hacha." So that's true. That was unique to Geri Arayus, to Kusim. There, they were never really Mekabel to begin with. The Manda Amar Geri Arayus. So there, we don't say Kulam Gerim Hei. Why here do we say Kulam Gerim? By a regular Geirus L'Shem Davar Acher, let's say a regular Geirus L'Shem Ishus. So the Ritva writes, Kevan de Nisgayru, the kiblu aleihem, since the people that are megayir l'shem da'arka went through a gerut process, they're megayir and they're mekabel, they accepted upon themselves what they're supposed to accept. Chazakahu da'agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu. So there's a chazaka that agav unsayu, because they were forced into this situation, they accepted what they need to accept. The alpha gav the machmas saonis will leave their abundance. Even though the impetus was the onus, the impetus was, let's say, they wanted to marry the Jewish partner. But bottom line, agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu, that because of the circumstances under which they converted, that there is an onus, there's a certain element of duress, that the only way they could marry this Jewish partner was to be megayir and to sign up for the religion. So agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu, just like the din in Bava Basra Memches of Taliyu v'zav in Zvina Zvina, that if you force someone to sell you an object, that sale is a valid sale. Agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu, that under the circumstances you realize that the only way you're going to get out of this situation is by selling the object. So bottom line, you're selling it with full intent. So here too, the only way you could end up marrying the Jewish partner is by converting. So then you are fully on board with everything that's required of you. Agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu. So there's still a lechachila. That lechachila, it sounds like the Ritva would say, we don't rely on this umdana of agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu, because we're still choshesh, maybe it's not really the best Kabbalah, but bottom line, b'di'evet, if they were megayir, so we are able to rely on this umdana to presume that the gerus was a valid gerus, the Kabbalah was a valid Kabbalah. Okay? So there's a well-known machlokes between Rav Chaim Ozer and the Zvar Avram, the Kavna Rav, as to the parameters of this notion of agav unsayu gamru v'kiblu in contemporary times. So the Chaim Ozer's tshuva is printed in Achiezer Chela Gimel Simin Kaf Vav. You know, the general heading of these tshuvas is under what circumstances in contemporary times, contemporary being pre-war or between the First World War and Second World War. Chaim Ozer's first tshuva, I think it was in the 1910s. The whole literature of Geirus really only began in the very late 1900s, when Geirus first became a real possibility in Europe. Until that time, Geirus is pretty much illegal in most European countries. Even in England, Geirus is only legalized in the second half of the 19th century, so you couldn't convert to Judaism if you wanted to. There's a someone wrote a study of the Pinchas of the London Beis Din, the first half of the 19th century. I forget what the name of the author or what the work was. It was about Australian. The primary focus of this work was Australian Jewry, the first Jews that came to Australia in the early 1800s, but they also focused on the Pinchas of the London Beis Din. So they noted that since conversion to Judaism was illegal in England, again, well into the 19th century, the London Beis Din generally did not perform gerus. There are only two broad categories of gerus that we do. Number one was if you had a product of a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother. So halachically, the child wasn't Jewish, but Medina de Malchusa, arguably, there wasn't a violation of civil law because there's a Jewish father. That kind of gerus they would do. And the second category was if they thought that it was appropriate to do gerus, but they were reluctant to do it because the person, because it was against civil law, so they would send the prospective ger to Amsterdam, where gerus was legal, and they'd have the Amsterdam Beis Din or the rabbis in Amsterdam do the gerus, and they'd go back to London. London wasn't willing to accept the validity of the Amsterdam gerus, so they did another gerus, but they assumed that Medina de Malchusa, the person was already Jewish because of the substandard gerus that was done in Amsterdam. So then, as far as Yidin the Malchus, it was only like Gir L'Chumra, so they were comfortable doing that. But anyway, gerus was basically a non issue in Europe until well into the late 19th century, which is when the tshuva literature begins. But anyway, so Reb Chaim Moser, the Dvarvam, all these tshuvas are dealing with this question: under what circumstances do we relax the lechachil of not being megayer son l'shem ishos / the issue of nitan? So it seems that both Reb Chaim Moser and the Dvarvam agree that if it's clear to Beis Din that someone is attempting to be megayer just milifnim, just to go through the motions, but there's no sincere acceptance of mitzvos, and the person's not going to be observant after the geirus, it's only a charade, so then Evan agrees that a Beis Din cannot do such a geirus, and we'll see such a geirus would be presumably invalid even post facto. The issue of debate is more of a gray area, where the representation in front of Beis Din is that this person is going to sincerely be megayer, even though the impetus is some ulterior motivation, and the person represents that they're going to be faithfully observant, but there may be still a level of suspicion that they're not going to keep to it or that they don't really need it, but we can't prove that one way or another. So Reb Chaim Moser assumes, based on this Ritva, Achiezer Chel Gimel Simen Kavav, primarily Os Gimel, Achiezer Chel Gimel Simen Kavav Os Gimel, that even though you have an Umdan D'muchach, that the motivation for Geirus is the other relationship, is the L'shem Isha factor, nevertheless, we have the right to assume, absent contrary evidence, that still Agav Unsei Gamar v'kibel, that because of the circumstances where you're converting in order to be able to marry this Jewish partner, so you need to accept everything that they demand of you to accept, and you're going to do it faithfully. So that creates an umdana, that an equal umdana, that the geirus is being done properly. And even if he's not really being mekabel v'lev shalem, absent any evidence to that, we might be able to say, dvarim shavlev einam dvarim. So if everything presents that the person is going to be sincere, and even if they may have some other doubt, the prospective ger, gioris, may not be fully sincere deep down in their heart, but that's only dvarim shavlev einam dvarim, and if all the indications are such that the geirus is going to be good with proper Kabbalah, so we say Agav Unsei Gamar V'kibel, you have the right to assume that it is a good geirus, and Kulam Geirim. That's what Chaim Moser's analysis. Now the Dvarvam is skeptical about this. Chelak Gimel Simen Kavches in the Dvarvam. So he notes the following. He says, even if we would assume b'di'evah kulam geirim heim, nowadays circumstances are different. Why? What's the model of the ritva of agav unsei gamar v'kibel? That's a din of tuluy v'zavim. That if you force someone to sell you something, and the only way he has to get out of that mess is by selling it to you, so under the circumstances, gamar u'makna. So there, it's clear that the only way that he can get you off his back is by selling you the object. So then we say, gamar umakna. But, lo yitzri, you have a situation where the person's coming to you and he's forcing you to sell you the object, but you know that in a half hour, in an hour, tomorrow, he's going to disappear from the scene. So you know in the back of your mind that there isn't any lasting pressure that it's going to force you to sell the object. So then, if you tell him, okay, I'm selling it to you now, and then you'll take it to Beis Din the next day, Beis Din will find in your favor. Because there's no long-standing onus, there's no long-standing situation that would force you to sell the object, so you're doing it to get him off your back today, but tomorrow you can go back and be toveya it, and that's not the case of Tal Yuhu Vizavim. So he says the same thing is true about Geirus of the contemporary, and contemporary, this tshuva was written in the 1930s, the contemporary seed. That it used to be, when the Gemara talks about Geire, David, and Shlomo, so then Yad Yisrael Tekifa. So then the Jews had the upper hand and the ability to punish people that didn't follow the religion. So if you wanted to be a member of the Jewish people, you had to jump in lock, stock, and barrel and keep everything. And if you wanted to marry a Jewish woman, so then the only way to do it would become from Jew. And even in later years, there wasn't Yad Yisrael Tekifa, but there was a certain strong societal pressure that to identify as a Jew meant to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvos, and the only way to be part of a Shomer Torah Mitzvos community was to be Shomer Torah Mitzvos. So it was inconceivable that someone could convert and join a Jewish community without being fully observant. Then it makes sense to talk about Agav and Sayu, Gomer V'Kibel, that even though the impetus is the Shem Yishus, you want to marry this Jewish partner, the only way to do it is to become a from Jew, but under circumstances you have no choice and the person is going to fully go with the program because there's no choice. But nowadays, that's not the case. Nowadays, he says, Achshav Eich Nishles Nafshenu, how can we fool ourselves? Here, under most circumstances, in most cases, there's an opposite umdin of the mukach. There's an umdin of the mukach that the person is not going to keep mitzvahs. The A, libam chalos that. And they're not into it. Ubidiika umdin of the mukach, afidvarm shalev havidvarim. And if there's an umdin of the mukach that they're not going to keep anything, so then, even Dvarim Shevelev HaVedvarim. So you have no right to assume, even if there's no contrary evidence, you have no right to assume that the person who's converting for ulterior motivation is really going to sincerely be Mekabel Mitzvahs. Okay, so that's the machlokas between Reb Chaim Ozer and the Dvarim in that gray area where you don't have an explicit indication one way or another. What do you have the right to assume? We'll come back to this as we go on. Just take a step back for a minute. Tosos here on Kaftalad and Beis, the Gemara said that they weren't Mekabel Geir make up it be Shlomo. So Tosos asks from the Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Tesam and Aleph, Gabi Maisa to Givonim to be made Davidi Tosu Geir Ma Yisrael Kuf Nun Aleph. So the Gemara says that in the time of David, there were 150,000 Geirim that joined the Jewish people. So how does that square with the Gemara here, that lo kiblu Geirim be made David v'shlomo? V'yishlomar d'mei atzmanis Geirim. So Tosa says they converted themselves. G'da'ashkan gavi Mordechai v'Esther. So what does that mean? They converted themselves. So the Gaon, in his parish on the Pasuk in Esther, understands, and Ibn Ezra basically says this as well, that if they weren't actually Megayer, but they passed themselves off as Jewish, they pretended to be Jewish, it was the in thing, so they acted Jewish, but they weren't Megayer halachically. Or the Manos Halevi writes that they dressed Jewish. They wore tzitzis and yarmulkes and shrivals and bekeshes or whatever the Jews of Persia wore. So they pretended to be Jewish by dressing up as Jewish. Sfatema says that might be a reason that we wear costumes on Purim. But they weren't Megayer in any halachically valid way. The Chachmei Svarad have a different answer here. The Ritva has on Ayin Tesam and Aleph. The Ritva Yevamis Ayin Tesam and Aleph Dibur Maskel Miyad. The Ritva Ayin Tesam and Aleph Dibur Maskel Miyad. The Ritva writes in one Teretz that these people were Megayer Bebeth and Hadyotas. So they weren't Megayer with the formal system. They weren't Megayer with the official Batei Din. But they're Megayer with a Bethin of Hedyotos. The Kaimalan be the Evakulam Gerimhem. So we'll talk about, as we go on, the requirement of Bethin for Gerus. So this sounds like there's a... This is a suboptimal way of being Megayer with a Bezdin of Hedyota. So that sounds like the famous Rambam in Perek Yud Gimel Yisur Hebiya. The Rambam writes beginning in Alach Yudal with Al Yala, Dafka Sheshimshon HaMashiach Yisrael, Shlomo Melech Yisrael, Shenikri Yedidya Nosu 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 Nosu. So you shouldn't think for a moment that Shimshon or Shlomo married non-Jewish women who didn't convert. I was so to Dover Kapu. Shamitzvah hanachona kishiyavo agera giyavas eskayer bokin acharav shamivaglam mabu anshiito avishvil sarara shayizkala avinei apachad bali kadisadas. As we saw, you have to investigate. You have to see what is the motivation. V'yam ishu bokin acharav shamayinam nasam isha yudis v'isha hi shamayinam nasam v'bakur v'bakur yisrael ilonim salam ilam adino san kovid ola torah etc. Giving to Allah Tesvav with Pikach, Lo Kibbu Bezin Geirin Koyme David Shlomo. So they weren't Kabbal Geirin during the time of David Shlomo. David, they were concerned that it was out of fear. Shlomo was because of the prosperity. The Apal Pikain, Hayu Geirin Harbe Misgairim made David Shlomo if they had Yotas. So even though the official infrastructure did not accept Geirin, but they were clandestine, they were ad hoc, Batei Din of Hedyotos, unauthorized Batei Din, that were nevertheless Megayer people. And the Beth Din Agadol was Choshesh for these Geirim. They wouldn't push them away. So they wouldn't push them away, they wouldn't be recurring them until the dust settled, until they saw what the end result was. Shalahan Ubanalan Bamas, Vahala Allah Kasam Kila Hubanan Shinamar, Az Yivnesh Shlomo Bama. Fine. So we'll have to discuss this Rambam as we go on, what it sounds like before any further analysis, is that these gear that were done by Beth and Shalhan Yotos were suspect because we weren't sure if they're really proper gearim. And we have to wait till the dust settled to see if the person who was Megayer was actually Megayer properly, if they were with the program, in order to determine whether that gear of the Beth and Shalhan Yotos was discussion of the effort. We'll analyze this more as we go on, but that's sufficient for now. Avi.
Is that the rationale behind removing the Knesset to put a bill through to only allow the chief rabbin to do
conversions? No, it happens to be the status quo is that the only the rabbin can do Geirus. So I'm not that new bill is... not really changing the status quo. That's at least politics from going on. If that was a concern, they wouldn't accept the chief rabbin as Geirus either. Okay. So then we'll have to come back to this Rambam. The corollary in the Mishnah here is the din of nitan. Nitan al hashif of nishachra al overis avedis lechav v'nisgaira hareita lo yichnas. So this is quoted la'alach and shulchan aruch and simin yud aleph of Eben Ezer. Sif hey.
Fine.
So So what's the reason for this din? What's the reason for this din of Nitan, that if there's a suspicion of a previous relationship, then you're not allowed to marry the object or the subject of that suspicion? So Rashi writes over here, Lo yisa'en on the Mishnah, Mishum Laz, Shelo Yomru Emes Haya HaKol Rishon. That we're concerned, people shouldn't say, oh, those rumors were true. There were rumors that this guy was having a relationship with this woman. And now that we see that she converted and then married him, it must be those rumors were true. The Rashba here, the Chachmei Sfarad, have a different reason. The Rashba, Dibur Maschil, the Akshinan, yes, Kashi and Rashi, won't go into the details. And the Rashi's bottom line is, what's the concern? Mishum Lazus Vasayim. Shelo Yomru Shezu Lo Nisgaira El L'Shem Znus. That people shouldn't say that this woman was Megayir for the intent of, with the intent of Znus. Zelo Kadas El L'Shem Znus Gamar. So it's not that we're concerned people are going to say, though the Mosi Laz, that the initial suspicions were correct, that there was a previous relationship. But rather, the concern is that people shouldn't say that the woman was Megayir L'Shem Znus. Or the Lashon of the Rashi and Tshuva, Chelek Aleph Simen 1205, Chelek Aleph Simen Aleph Reshe, Lashon Rashi and Tshuva, Lazus Vasayim Ika Mechur Hadavar, Gamki Chashash Yesh Bezu, Shelo Nisgayra L'Shem Shamayim, Ela Kadesha Tinase Lazet, the Asaf Chatan Yesh Beinayan. It's all a scam, it's a ploy, it's a charade to allow for a relationship of Nus. Okay? So many Achronim write that a possible nafkamina between Rashi and the Rashba would be a situation where everyone knows that this couple is living together anyway, or having a relationship anyway. Nita means that there's some suspicion, there's some talk that there's a relationship going on. So under those circumstances, Rashi says, Lo yisena, mishum laz, shalayom emes hayakol rishon. People shouldn't say that, oh, those rumors were correct. But if they're more than rumors, if it's a known fact, if they're living together publicly, if they're civilly married, so then Rashi's concern is out of place. We're worried that people are going to say that the rumors are true. They're more than rumors. It's fact. Everyone knows it. They're living together publicly. So, according to Rashi, it could be that if there's a public relationship, then this concern of Nitan wouldn't apply. As opposed to the reason of the Rashba, that Rechoshesh, people are going to say that the Geirus is for ulterior motivation, it's only to promote, to allow for Znus, it's all a scam, a charade, a plot. So then, that could arguably apply even where there's a public relationship. If you look in the Achiezer, in that Tshuva, Chelek Gimel Siman Kavav, argues that it's possible, even according to Rashi, Rashi may agree to the reason of the Rashba, in which case, maybe it's not really an afkamina. But Ramosha goes the other direction. Ramosha thinks maybe even according to the Rashba, in our case, there wouldn't be a chashash of nitak. Ramosha is Chelek Aleph, Evan Ezer, Simon Kav Zayin. Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph of Evan Ezer, Simon Kav Zayin. So the Shaila was, Bidvar Echa Shanasa Nachris, so a Jewish man is married, quote unquote, to a non-Jewish woman, Vidar Imba Bifarhes Yahar Bishanim, and they're living together publicly for many years, Vahol Ben Mimana, and they have a child, the Adin is Gayer, and now she's Megayer, and Yesh Ba Ha'iser Lo Yisena Midin Nitan Al Nachris, Ben Iskayra. So does this din of Nitan apply? So Rashi says the following. Definitely, according to Rashi, that the concern is the lazus, that people are going to say, oh, the rumors were correct. So that obviously doesn't apply because they're living publicly as husband and wife. So we're not concerned about substantiating otherwise unfounded rumors. But according to Rashi, there shouldn't be a issue of nidan at all. And then he says, even according to the Rashba, what's the concern? That people are going to say she's all in the guy of Hashem's nus. So is that true over here? Here, they're already civilly married for years. So it's not that she needed to be Megayer to maintain this relationship with Nus. The relationship existed. And if she wasn't Megayer, they still remained together. So what's the concern that Rechoshe, that she went through this in order to promote Nus? This Nus existed anyway. Now there's nothing, her relationship or her ability to continue this relationship was in no way enhanced by the Geirus. He doesn't really understand the Rashba's reason to begin with. Is that really true? That it'll be easier to be Mizana if she's Megayer than if she remained a non-Jew? They were Mizana before, and so they'll be Mizana afterwards if you call that Snus. So what exactly are we promoting? We're going to say she's only Megayer to enhance, to continue the Snus. The Snus happened before, it'll... The Geirus has no effect on the Snus. So he thinks under these circumstances, lo mi bayu according to Rashi, but even according to the Rashba, arguably, the concern of Nitan doesn't apply, and it would be permissible for this Gioras to halachically marry her partner. And this, in general, is the approach of most Batei Din under these circumstances, along these lines, that Lemaisa, however we chesed this Lemaisa, we're not so concerned about Nitan under most such circumstances. One case that comes up every now and then where even if formally you could argue that it's the same kind of nitan that we'd be make a line for these reasons, but where there is a reluctance among Batei Din is, let's say you have a situation of a Jewish couple and the husband runs away with a non-Jewish woman and abandons his Jewish wife, and he'll give her get, he'll get divorced, and he goes off to live with this other non-Jewish woman. And then 5 years later, he comes back and he wants her to be Megayer. So even where you might argue that these kulas of Nitan would apply, but there's something not right about it, that the Beis Din would be reluctant to get involved in such a situation. Okay. Let's go back to where we started, which is the Geirus L'Shem Davarach, or Geirus L'Shem Ishos, and how does that play out, L'maisa, Avi?
Yeah, just to clarify that last case, that was really not Geirus related. If you took like a cold analytical approach to that situation as any of the others, it's more because of the previous history that's being developed.
It's a case of Nitan. But I'm saying even if we're Mako in general for a Nitan case here, this is the kind of Nitan where, I'm not talking about the Geirus, I'm talking about the, right, the Geirus is connected to the Nitan factor. So you're only going to be Megayer the person if they're going to get married. So here there's a certain residence to allow them to get halachically married. So you're not going to proceed with the Geirus because of the ultimate Nitan factor. Even if you were to isolate the Nitan, you may be able to come up with the same cool as I used to come up. Okay. So, how do we approach a situation where there are dual motivations? Because let's say a person, in the whole discussion, Achiezer and the Dvar Avraham that we mentioned before is a case where there's no clear indication as to whether the person is properly going to be the Kabbal Mitzvahs. We'll talk about Kabbalas and Mitzvahs as we go on, where there's going to be a proper Geirus. But let's say, you know, there will be a proper Geirus, all indications are such. But still, how do you get out of the L'chachil of not being Megayir Sam of L'shem Ishas, where there are ulterior motives? So how do we approach a situation where, let's say, there are dual motivations? There is a certain level of sincerity, a certain level of Kavanah L'shem Shemayim, but we know that there is an initial impetus of L'shem Ishas and L'shem Dabar Acher. So the Beis Yosef has a line, the end of Siman Beis Samaches. He references the Gemara in Menachos Mem Dalid. That's the case of the Zona and the Tzitzis, where ultimately the Zona wants to be Megayer, Amanas Shanase Losa Tamid. So she wants to be Megayer on condition that she's able to marry that guy that she almost had an encounter with. And the Gemara indicates that such a Geirus would be conceivable. Or the cases of Hillel and Shabbos Lamed Aleph, where Gairene, Amanas, Shea Kohen Gadol, Amanas, the various situations that Hillel encountered, where Hillel was willing to proceed with the Geirus, even though it was clear that the initial impetus was L'shem Davar. So the Beis Yosef writes, Umikan Yishlomot from Akamar Menachos, Shakol Divrei Ra'os Eine Habezdin. So there is a certain amount of discretion that a Besdin has to make such a determination. So it sounds like the Beis Yosef is saying, based on this Gemara, that even our Gemara of the Chachila, that you shouldn't be Megayir someone L'shem Davar, has certain qualifications, and the Besdin has the right to make a determination where it views the prospective Ger as being L'shem Shemayim, where it's all going to end up okay, even if there was an initial ulterior impetus, the Beis Din would have the right to proceed with such a Geirus. So the Gemara of Chachila may not apply in every single situation. So the later Achronim quote a Tshuva of the Rambam in Pe'er Hador. Reb Chaim Ozer, I think, made this famous. And that Shuv and Achiezer toward the end in Ozayin, Chela Gimel Simen Kavvav Ozayin. I found that there's a Shuv of the Or Sameach, who also quotes this Rambam. The Or Sameach too is written earlier, but I don't think it was printed earlier. The Shuv is Or Sameach Chela Beis Simen Lamed Beis. Shuv is Or Sameach Chela Beis Simen Lamed Beis. So the Rambam was asked about the following situation. There's a certain Jewish fellow who bought a shivcha, and she was living in the same house. So the question was, should the Rambam, should this fellow get rid of her? Potential Isser Yichud, it doesn't look right, Visa Nikiyim. So what should this guy do? So the Rambam writes the following, this is in Pe'er Hador, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, Pe'er Hador, Simen Kuf Lamed Beis, I'm reading it from the Achiezer. The Midin Torah, Tzarech Legarsha, Mishan, Afilu B'Giyusa. So the proper thing to do would be to get rid of her. So Beis Din should try to prevail upon him to get rid of the shivcha. However, where that's impossible, where he doesn't agree to it, then the Rambam says he could be mishaper her. And even though hanitan al shivcha v'nishtachera eino yochel yisam l'chachila, so even though the lechachila is that if there's a nitan situation, you can't marry her. Achein, kasher pasachnu b'dvarim ke'elu sheyigarish v'yisa, u'pasachnu kach m'mnei takanas hashavim, However, there is an allowance in the Kanas HaShavim that he could marry her. The Amarnu Mutav Sheyofa Rotev Velo Shuman Atmo. So better that he should, so to speak, violate a Isser Kal of Nitan rather than to be in a situation where it's much worse to have this Shifcha in the house with him. The Samachnu Al Omrim Zal Esa Sos Hashem Efeir Sarasecha V'yachol Yisa'ena, and he would be allowed to marry her. So strictly speaking, the Rambam here is talking about a shifcha, not a geiras, and he's talking about the din of nitan, not the din of geiras. That because of takanas hashavim, we could relax the iser of nitan. Reb Chaim Ozer writes that along the same lines, it's a reasonable extension that the same may apply by geiras as well. That if you're not going to let her be Megayer, again talking about a situation where she's going to be Megayer, proper Kabbalah submits, this will be a halachically valid Geiris, at least post facto. But if you're not Megayer her, she's going to stay with this guy. So there's a certain Takanas HaShavim element. And Reb Chaim Ozer says, that's not really the same Ishus. But you're telling me what, that you're being Megayer L'shem Isha, it's not true. She's going to stay with the guy whether or not she's Megayer. So that's not, strictly speaking, L'shem Isha. Even though it's true that the Rambam situation is only about this person being Meshachar's own Shifcha, and here you're telling Bezdin to violate the Isser of being Megayer someone who's converting L'shem Isha, but he says, ultimately, it's not really L'shem Ishus. And if there's no contrary Umdina, there's no Umdina Demuchaf that is not going to be a good Geiris, that she's not going to be Mekabel Mitzvos Karoi, so L'fi Ra'os Enei Abezdin, there's one to be Mekel about. Okay, I think we're out of time. We will pick up from here, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow. Tomorrow, let's meet in the Bezdin room. Actually, I'll have to see if it's available. I'll let you know where we're going to meet.